My guest says that she has been watched by aliens since childhood. They told her she had been selected to teach the world about the New Age, and they gave her strange powers. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I'm here with Robin Harfouch, Miss California, on a national television show weekly as a dancer. The only problem is she did not study dance as a child. She got her gifting supernatural. But as a child, you had, as a young child, you had dreams, Robin, about a woman would come to you. Tell me about that.
Well, from the time I was really little, I would have a reoccurring dream that this woman would come on a horse. And I remembered I was always really scared, and I was in a cabin looking out, and it always looked like she wanted something from me. And I remember when I was about 5 years old, I went to my mom and I told her about the dream. And my mom said, that woman sounds and looks exactly like my great-grandmother, who was a witch.
And you had never seen her, of course.
No, she wasn't living at that time.
And then a few years later, they sent you to live with your grandparents.
Yes.
And unfortunately, you were taken advantage of as a child.
Yes, I was child molested from the time I was about 4 until I was about 13 years old.
And you were telling me something very strange happened when you were molested.
Well, what I would do is I would leave my body. And, you know, there are a lot of psychologists today. Mm-hmm. You talk to them about people who have been abused or molested, and they actually say that the people go somewhere and they said to get away from the violence of the situation that's happening to them. And as a little kid, you know, you have absolutely no understanding of sexuality and mm-hmm. love and all that mixed together. It's confusing, you know, and it was violent. And so I would leave my body, and when I did that, I would, you know, go up above my body, over my bed. I could see myself down there, but I would go into this realm where I would speak to other children. They looked like children.
In this invisible realm, you would see other children.
Yes, and I would speak to them, and they would tell me things about you know, my life, about people. Hmm. It would be like I would just know things.
Well, even as a child,
yes.
You would, say, go into a restaurant, and what would happen?
Well, I had the ability to look at people and know what they were thinking. And it was so real to me that when they would think something, I would answer their thoughts. Hmm. You know, so they would have a thought, and I would answer their thoughts. And it was pretty bizarre.
But in college,
yes.
Someone came to you.
When I was 18 years old, I actually had a spirit guide appear to me in college. And it was in the open, in the daylight, in the afternoon. And he appeared to me and began to tell me that I had been selected or chosen. And he'd been watching me since I was a little girl. He knew about what had happened to me, that I was born with the veil, or born with a psychic ability or a sixth sense ability. Mm-hmm. And he was basically there now to teach me and develop me in that gifting.
How'd you feel about that?
At first I was frightened of him, and then
Did he look like a real person, or?
No, he looked like an alien. Hmm. You know, like the pictures you see that people draw of aliens when they say they've been abducted or had experience with aliens. He wasn't frightening looking, kind of a cross between an alien and an angel, you know.
And where did this dancing thing come from?
Well, I was in college majoring in mm-hmm. journalism because I was a writer, very creative personality. And one day I walked by a professional studio. There happened to be a professional studio in the city. And I just stood at the door of the studio and began to cry. And I don't know really why, you know. And the dance director came up to me and said, "You want to be a dancer, don't you?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Let's have lunch." So the next day, she said, "I just feel that I'm supposed to bring you in and train you." And so she trained me, but at the same time paid me to be in a professional dance company.
Why?
While I was going to college.
Why? I mean, people don't get trained and paid.
I think that the reasoning was there was a blueprint or a destiny that the spirit guide had for me, and I had a favor on me that was inexplainable, or unexplainable, I guess is the right word. Doors of opportunity would open for me that shouldn't have. Things would happen fast for me. And then all that led me to Hollywood. And and so that's how that happened.
But now how did this spirit guide turn into, as you say in your book, Marilyn Monroe?
Well, what ended up happening was the spirit guide in college wanted to come into my body and speak through my mouth, which is what we call today channeling a spirit, channeling an ascended master or a teacher. And you know that goes on all over the country now and all over the world. But he got very aggressive, and when that began to happen and I would let him in and speak through my mouth, my head and my heart and my spirit would pick up so much information about what was going on around me that it was almost tormenting. And so one day I said, "Look, you know, I can't, I mean, I know you say I'm chosen to propagate this message called the New Age."
And at that time, it wasn't as common as it is today, the term New Age.
Well, the terminology wasn't anywhere.
And it was, he called it a religion of the New Age?
He said it was a religion, and he said it would be the one world religion.
Now, do people in the New Age feel that theirs is a religion? Because I've just thought that people dabble in these things.
And no, I believe that New Age, people believe that it's a religion. It's a spirituality, which people classify as a religion. And he said it would be the religion that would be all over the world at the same time, and that I was to teach on it. But when he got, you know, aggressive with me, I said, "Look, you know, I went to a place in the mountains and I meditated, and I said, you know, I can't handle this anymore. You know, I don't want you coming into my body and speaking through my mouth anymore. You know, I don't want to be a medium or a channel. You know, I don't want it this way." And when that happened, I had a spiritual experience where light came all over my body. And at that point, I began to hear another voice. And this voice said, "My name is Marilyn. I'm a good spirit."
Was it Marilyn Monroe?
Yes.
Marilyn Monroe. We'll be right back after this. I know this sounds strange, but I'll tell you, the invisible world is real, whether you're aware of it or not. Be right back. YouTube, Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, and I'm here with Robin Harfush, and she says that she had a spirit guide who identified itself as Marilyn Monroe. And if you think that's strange, wait till you find out what happened next. You see, she gets a phone call, and this man is a prominent Hollywood producer, and what did he say to you?
He said, who are you and how did your name get on my private call sheet today? And he said, because nobody's name gets on there unless I put it down. And my name was on his call sheet.
How did your name get there?
Well, that's supernatural.
Okay.
I believe that my spirit guide got my name there. And he said, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a dancer and I'm an actress. And he said, we need to meet because I feel this is God. And so I said, all right. And so I went to meet him at his office, which was at 666 Robertson Boulevard. And I went in and...
Pretty prophetic number. Go
yeah.
ahead.
I went in and I saw all the, you know, the Emmy Awards and the Academy Awards, mm-hmm. and he was a for real guy. And he sat down with me and he said, there's something special about you. And he said, you know, I've seen stars in my life. And he said, you've got what it takes. I want to introduce you to a friend of mine who represented Marilyn Monroe when she was on the West Coast, when she was alive.
So you have a spirit guide named Marilyn Monroe, and now you're getting the actual
agent
for Marilyn Monroe.
Yes.
So what did he say?
One of the biggest talent agencies in the world, which is just unheard of. And he set up the appointment for me the next morning. And he said, you know, this guy is so powerful, he may give you a minute, you know. So my spirit guide at that time told me what to wear, and Marilyn Monroe, and I wore what she told me to wear. And she said, don't worry about it, he's gonna sign you.
What kind of stars might he have represented?
He represented Shirley MacLaine, he still does.
Okay.
He represented Dean Martin, Gene Kelly, Michael Jackson for film.
And so what did he say to you when you went to his office?
Well, I went in and I knew it was a divine appointment, you know, because I had, you know, just this feeling about it. And I began to talk to him, and he leaned over the table to me, at the desk, and he said, you have a spirit guide, don't you? And I said, yeah. And I mean, I wasn't there to talk about my spirituality. I was there to talk about, you know, the theatrical business
right.
and the movie business. And he said, it's Marilyn Monroe, isn't it? And I said, yeah. And so then he called his secretary, he said, cancel all my appointments. He spent the next 4 hours with me. And from there, started molding me to become the next Shirley MacLaine.
So let me get this straight. Spirit Guide says they've been watching you since you were a child,
yes.
and that you were selected to introduce the religion of the new age. You're moving up the Hollywood ladder much faster than anyone should. I mean, you were on a national show dancing, and no
yes.
one does that with
no.
and not having studied their whole life.
Right.
And I mean, you studied, but for a year or something?
Yeah, just a few years, and I became a pro.
So all this supernatural stuff is happening to you, and then one day, you're with your boyfriend, and he says something pretty staggering to you.
Yeah, my boyfriend was in a world-famous band called The Knack at that time. And we were just sitting on my couch, and he began to, you know, he was just leaned over to give me a kiss. And when he did, my face changed into the face of Marilyn Monroe.
Did you feel it, or did
yeah,
he see it?
I felt her come in.
And how'd you feel about that?
I was upset about it, because I felt I had control over this gift, and it, you know, the psychic gift, the sixth
you
sense.
You thought
gift.
You were controlling it, but it was really controlling you, is what you began to realize.
It's what, yeah, I began to realize that. It freaked him out. And so from there and some other experiences that I had with channelers or mediums, mm-hmm. a woman that spoke in a male voice, some little things that began to scare mm-hmm. me, I started pulling out. Of it.
And you were on the side, you were waitressing at a Sonny Bono's restaurant in
yes,
Hollywood.
Yes.
And there were some men, famous stars, that were saying wrong things to you. You didn't want to wait on them, but,
yes.
but you heard a voice and it said.
Yeah, well, that day I had just directed a Mitsubishi commercial mm-hmm. with 16 dancers. And I was doing very well in the business, but I made good money there on the weekends, and sometimes the business could be, you know, really well for a while, and then it would, you know, lighten up for a little
right.
while. And they got sexual with me. You know, they said, well, what are you, you know? Are you an actress, a dancer, or are you a waitress? And then they said, is it true what they say about dancers, which was a sexual slur, mm-hmm. you know? And for some reason, I felt, like, really vulnerable, you know? Like, normally, I would have just said something back, because you got to be tough in the business. So I go into the kitchen, and I'm leaning against the wall, and I hear my spirit guide, and she says, you know, are you going to let them do that to you? I mean, you know what it's like in the entertainment business. You got to be tough, you know. And I felt compelled to run out to where I had asked this other waitress to wait on him and take the drink tray from her. And when I did, a 25-foot tall door, utility door that weighed 150 pounds, came off its hinges and hit me in the back of the skull like a hammer at supernatural speed, where nobody could warn me.
You were set up. She was set up.
Yes.
She was set up to be killed by this spirit guide. As a matter of fact, what was the worst situation you were in as a result of the accident? What did you find yourself in the worst place?
I woke up in a coma in Cedars-Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles. And I'd lost the use of my arms and my legs. And I was paralyzed on my left side.
What was your prognosis?
At the end, after rehabilitation for several months, they called it post-concussive syndrome.
I mean, but would you be healed eventually through medicine?
I had 23 doctors, and they said that I would be in a wheelchair the rest of my life.
Well, hold that thought. We're going to be right back after this, because the most amazing miracle happened in her life. You won't want to miss it. Back here with Robin Harfouch. And Robin, you were a mess. This door fell on you.
Yes.
You're going to be sick the rest of your life. You probably even despaired of life.
Well, I was 28 years old. I was in the wheelchair for 6 months before I lost hope. I'd gone through rehab and everything, and my maintenance level prescription drug was 14 Percodan a day and 6 Valium. And that was just to keep seizures down and everything. And I was suicidal and decided to commit suicide. And a friend of mine called me on the phone, who was a bass player in a band called The Knack. And he said, look, you know, I'd like you to go to church with me tonight. And I said yes.
Why'd you say yes?
I don't know. I mean, he didn't tell me anything about it. He just said, I'd like you to go with me. And
so you found yourself in this church, and what happened?
I felt like a lightning bolt hit me when I went into the church, and I started shaking and crying.
And had anything like this happened in the New Age?
No, I mean, nothing like this. I mean, I'd had inner healing experiences, you know, for emotional abuse and things like that in the New Age, but I had never sensed this kind of power. And I was at peace, you know, which is really wild. And no one had preached, and nothing had happened. I was just sitting there, and this happened to me. And so at the end of when someone did get up and they began to speak about Jesus Christ, I believed in Jesus, you know. But I also believed in Muhammad and in Buddha and the Hindu religion and positive and negative confession. I mean, I believed in anything that would make you a better person or make you more in contact with your spiritual side. But he preached, and he said that Jesus Christ was the only way, and that all those other ways were not, they were counterfeit. And when he did, I had a revelation. I knew in my heart, you know, that all my life I'd been looking for Jesus Christ in all these other avenues, you know. And so he said, there's somebody here and you want to receive Christ as your personal Savior. And I didn't know that Jesus could do anything more for me than forgive me for my sins. And I had a lot of them. And so I went forward, and before I even, you know, said anything, the minister that was ministering said, God is healing you. And I fell backwards, like in a cloud, you know. And I came to about 45 minutes later, completely healed.
What do you mean completely healed? You were in a wheelchair. You had to take all this Valium and all these drugs.
I was straight. I had probably taken about 12, you know, pills that day. I was sober for the first time, and straight. My mind was sober. The drugs were gone out of my system instantly. The pain was gone. Everything in my body moved. I was completely healed.
Guess what happened? She married the evangelist that set her free, and she teaches and has miracles, not from the counterfeit, but from the real thing, from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in the name of Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. Watch this woman, born deaf, instantly healed with the real power of God. These two women were born deaf. First one, 100% deaf. The second one, 80% deaf. Did you see that excitement? That's a messianic miracle. That means that the Messiah is alive and real and loves you. And it's time you pray, God, in Jesus' name, forgive me of my sins and become real to me and live inside of me. You don't need the junk of the new age. You want the real thing. You got one life and you want it to count. Make it count. Get desperate for God. He's desperately in love with you.